But first, to the underwater world. We focus so far on the hearts of humans and how they adapt to extreme conditions such as intense exercise and G-force. But what about the hearts of animals? University of Queensland zoologist Craig Franklin studies saltwater crocodiles, the Earth's largest living reptiles and owners of the most complex heart in the animal kingdom.
Crocodiles are mostly aquatic. They spend the majority of their life in river systems or sometimes out in the ocean. And they are divers. They can spend periods of time underwater. They can actually capture food underwater, like fish. But they can also remain submerged at the water's edge and ambush prey that come down to drink. Our recent research has showed that they can spend many hours on a single lungful of air. And the record is around about 7 hours.
It's a long old time, isn't it? How do you think they're doing that?
The key to diving is how to manage oxygen. So for the crocodiles, we think it's a large part of it is their cardiovascular system. And that their heart is, I think, the most sophisticated and most complex heart in the animal kingdom.
Quite surprising, given they're quite ancient beings, aren't they? They've been around for hundreds of millions of years.
Yeah, so we can track back to the Jurassic, and Protosuchus is what's regarded as the first crocodilian. And we can jump forward in time to 100 million years. And in Queensland, Australia, a discovery was made of crocodile that essentially is what we have today in shape and appearance.
So they're clearly well adapted and very successful. So when you look inside one, what is the anatomy that you think gives them this ability?
Imagine a four-chambered heart, just like a human heart, two atria, two ventricles. Blood returns from the body, deoxygenated, and it enters the right atrium. It then gets ejected into the right ventricle, and as that ventricle contracts, it ejects that blood to the lungs.
So far, that's just like you and me.
Just like you and me. That blood then returns to the left atrium and to the left ventricle, and then it's ejected out to the body, so to the head and to the limbs.
That's still just like you and me.
Exactly, just like you and me. But this is when it gets a wee bit more complicated. Now, if we just focus on the right side of the heart, that side of the heart typically ejects blood to the lungs through the pulmonary arteries. But in the crocodile, there's an extra vessel. It's called the left aorta, and that vessel allows blood to be pumped to the body. So the right ventricle almost has a choice. It can either send blood to the lungs or it can send blood to the body.
Why would that help?
Well, our hypothesis is that if the crocodile can control the amount of blood that goes to the lungs and perhaps limit it and just redivert it to the body, it can save the oxygen in the lungs. So it kind of meters the amount of blood that goes to the lungs, a wee bit like a reservoir, a scuba tank in the crocodiles that it can use from time to time.
Your theory would be then that the crocodile is going to dive, so it gets a lung full of air, then submerges, and then periodically diverts the blood, instead of around its body, through the lungs, grabs a bit of that oxygen, shoves that oxygenated blood around the body for a while until it needs another taste of oxygen, and then it opens and closes this yep. choice in the right side of the heart. Is that borne out by observation, though? Do we know that crocodiles do go down with a big lung full of air? Because diving mammals like whales classically and characteristically breathe out before they submerge.
There's been experimental studies to show that crocodiles will go down with a lung full of air and use that as a key source of oxygen. But really, the trick to this heart and this flow pattern is how that blood can either go to the lungs or to the body. And what we've discovered is a very special type of valve that sits at the base of the vessel that goes to the lungs. And we call it cog teeth because it looks like cog teeth or two sets of knuckles that come together. And what we've shown is that when it does close, it diverts the blood to the body.
But have you been able to go in and look at an awake behaving crocodile in order to see if what you think is happening is true, because these are not small animals. It's not like a lab mouse to study. It's pretty challenging.
No, I mean, the great thing these days is that, you know, physiologists like myself used to bring the animal into the lab. Now we take the lab to the animal, and this is the field of telemetry, where things like physiological devices have been miniaturized to such an extent that you can implant them in animals and you can actually measure their physiology while they're just going about their daily business.
So you've done that. You've got devices you're implanting in crocodiles to measure these heart functions.
Yes, so we've implanted a number of animals and we've been recording flows and pressures. And there is evidence to say that during diving, they do divert blood away from the lungs back into the body.
It's ingenious, isn't it? One quick question I can't resist, though. How on earth do you get the croc to cooperate with the implantation of the device?
Carefully. We of importance to us is the welfare of the animal. You know, the whole thing is that we want to observe natural behaviours. And so we look after the animal and we make sure that there's little impact, and that way we can record these natural behaviours.
How do you catch them?
Yeah, catching's easy. Is it? Catching's reasonably easy if you have a very experienced team. And I've been very lucky in that Australia Zoo, Steve Irwin originally and Terry Irwin now, provides the capacity, the capability to capture these animals and for us to put tracking devices on them.
I'm more than happy to leave the crocodile hunting to the professionals. That was Craig Franklin.